when Chuck Hagel's name was first bruited about as a potential Secretary of Defense, I had real reservations. But as I have listened to the grossly unfair attacks and outright lies about him told by largely by conservatives, and of course by gay rights groups too, but largely by conservatives and pro-Israeli activists, I'm falling in line 100% behind Chuck Hagel on an issue of elementary fairness. I think he deserves his fair hearing before the Senate. I mean, we got to the point where we're trying to hang people before they've had a trial, and it's not the American way. And oh, by the way, although I'm not a supporter of President Obama, traditionally, a president gets to pick his cabinet secretaries, and unless there is something egregious in their past, some a crime or clear anti-Americanism or something that verges on subversion, he gets his pick. Now, that does not mean I don't have reservations about Hagel. It doesn't mean I don't have concerns. But let's look at the pluses and minuses briefly.
All right.
On the plus side, I have been really surprised that as I've polled my friends who recently retired from the military or are still serving, who know him, who have worked with him, who have seen him in action, they are 100% pro-Chuck Hagel. They think he would be great for the troops, and they think he would have the guts to take on vested interests in defense industry, because as you and I have talked about before, mm-hmm. John, my concern is that cuts are coming to the defense budget. They're coming, period. And the issue is, how do you make the cuts? Do you screw the troops to reward defense contractors for weapons that don't work? Or do you take a balanced approach? Take care of the troops, keep as many as you can, while also buying new weapons, but insisting that they work and are good value.
And you think a guy like Hagel...
Oh, Hagel would come out swinging.
Now, so why wouldn't McCain be for Hagel? Because McCain has always been fierce when it came to wasteful spending in the Pentagon.
I think it's personal bad blood. Hagel was one of the guys who went on record saying, you know, we've tried in Iraq, it's not working. We need to cut our losses, and he was against the surge in Afghanistan.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know, and McCain, and who I supported for president, was very, you know, ball to the walls, do whatever we got to do, win the fight. And I fell in between the two. I got to a point in Iraq where I said, look, there's no future here, and I was leaning toward the Hagel side. You know, and as we've seen, despite the sunny flip and the transient success of the surge, Iraq is now an ally of Iran. I mean, it doesn't, you know, we didn't get any long-term payoff. As far as the surge in Afghanistan, you know, I was against that from the start because we can't force the Afghans to do what we want them to do and to like what we want them to like. And I'm for killing terrorists. I am not for rebuilding foreign countries that were never built in the first place and for handing out lollipops to people that hate our guts. I am for killing terrorists and protecting American interests.
There's something to say about that. How can you rebuild something that was never built?
Yeah, I mean, we're just, okay. John, we're just so nutty about stuff like this. But part of the reason Iraq and Afghanistan have been, well, dragged on in Iraq and is still dragging on Afghanistan is a lot of well-connected contractors are making enormous fortunes out of this. And you have, in the recent war, our recent wars, you know, contractors love to pound their chests and say how patriotic they are. Do you know of any dollar-a-year men, any defense industry CEOs that did what industry leaders did under FDR and said, we will serve the government for a token payment of $1 a year until the war is over?
Is that what Henry Kaiser did?
Yeah, I believe Kaiser was one of the many.
Okay.
I mean, these were patriots.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, but, you know, pardon me. So I think Hagel, on the domestic side, as far as taking care of the troops and the force, I think he might be a great choice. My concerns, of course, are for the Middle East, where he has appeared soft in Iran. It's not as black and white as some in the media are painting it. He didn't want to vote for unilateral sanctions that are against Iran, but he did vote for the agreed international sanctions. So he just wanted an international approach. But that said, he is definitely going to be, take a much stricter, more pacifistic line on foreign policy.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We cut to the chase. Next spring, Israel decides it's had enough, and they decide it's time to make the move on Iran and take out their nuclear capability. Chuck Hagel is the defense secretary of the
United States. Chuck Hagel will argue that we should not get involved and that we should try to prevent it from happening. So, you know, again, that's where I have concerns. But here's the thing, John. I am personally convinced that President Obama has already accepted that he has accepted as fact that Iran is going to have nuclear weapons. He is not going to move meaningfully to stop them. And so, you know, who's defense secretary becomes a moot point because our president is not going to stop Iran.
If Iran goes nuclear, it will be the most destabilizing occurrence in world affairs since, I think, Russia got the bomb. I mean, yeah. look what will happen to the Middle East if Iran goes nuclear.
Well, yeah, and there are three possibilities. One is Iran uses the bomb against Israel, and there's a conflagration. Number two is that Iran uses it to get us out of the Persian Gulf. That's unlikely, but it's a possibility. We have to think about it because we've got key bases and interests there. But number three, which is actually the likeliest, is terrible, and that's that the mere possession of nuclear weapons gives Iran de facto hegemony, control of the entire Persian Gulf, with the world's greatest concentration of oil supplies, key shipping lanes, and that, by extension, gives Iran control of the world economy.
Yep, and complete control of Arabia.
Yeah, it does. I mean, de facto control. They don't have to invade. They just, you know, the world knows that anytime Iran wants, it can close the Straits of Hormuz, nuke oil fields, facilities, etc. So oftentimes, the threat of something is as effective or even more effective than the action itself.
So Barack Obama, you think, not only believes that a nuclear Iran is acceptable but inevitable, and that it's a greater danger for Israel to try and prevent them from getting the weapon than it is for them to have it.
Now, I do not believe that President Obama thinks Iran getting a nuclear weapon is a good idea. I think he dreads it, but I think he regards it as the word you used, inevitable. So he doesn't like it, but he regards it as inevitable. He doesn't think it's worth fighting over.
And he thinks it's more dangerous to use military force to try and prevent them from doing so, whether that force is from Israel with the U.S. helping or from the United States with Israel helping them.
He thinks it's more politically costly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, in the short term, I think, you know, remember, Obama and his crowd, despite all evidence to the contrary, believe that negotiations are the answer to everything. And they figured, well, once Iran gets the bomb, maybe it'll simmer down and we'll be able to deal with them. And, you know, they're not going to use it. We're going to cut deals, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're terribly naive. I think Senator Hagel is naive about Iran. But that said, look, I go back to, you know, to just my issue with Senator Hagel. At this point, I would lean strongly toward his confirmation because he'd take care of our military, which is the defense secretary's priority. The defense secretary does not set Middle Eastern policy toward Iran or Israel or anywhere else. That is under the aegis of the president. It is set by the secretary of state operating on the president's directives and guidelines. And the defense secretary, although he's very active in the Middle East, does not make recommendations, but he does not set policy.
Well, as an example, Robert Gates wanted us to do one thing in Syria, and we did something else.
Right. And I also think that, you know, again, pardon me, I'm just fighting this cold. We have to be realistic. And instead of saying, well, gee, is Chuck Hagel a perfect defense secretary? You have to say, is he the best secretary we're likely to get under Obama? And I think the answer is yes. Because who do you want? I mean, who would you like Obama to choose instead of Chuck Hagel?
Actually, I got to tell you, I've liked our last two defense secretaries.
Well, that's what I mean. I think they've been great. Gates was great, and Panetta's been very, very good. But now he's in his second term.
Yeah.
And the bench isn't very deep. There aren't a lot of choices out there. And one thing I do like about Senator Hagel is, even though...
Can I drop a name?
Sure.
How about the other senator from Nebraska, Bob Kerry?
I don't see him as sufficiently willing to take on the defense industry.
Okay. So you want someone who's going to be a bearcat when it comes
to... Right. Okay. And one thing I admire about Hagel is, even when I don't agree with him, he says what he means. And that's why he's in trouble in Washington now, because here's a guy who, in Washington, tells the truth. He says what he really believes. And you don't do that in Washington. You got to keep your eye on the ball and not offend anybody. And, oh, by the way, on the, you know, the lesbian, gay, LGBT alliance opposing Hagel's nomination because of his remarks back in the 1990s. Look, we owe our gay fellow citizens full legal and social respect. But they do not get to veto the president's choice for Secretary of Defense. I mean, at some point, the nonsense has to stop. No interest group, including the Israeli lobby, and I say this as a lifelong supporter of Israel who believes we should fight to defend Israel, even the Israeli lobby should not get to veto president's choice of cabinet members. This is our business as a people. And, you know, while I think the American Medical Association should have a voice, you know, be able to speak out on who become, you know, runs Health and Human Services or the FDA. Nonetheless, I think if you're going to be a voice on who's defense secretary, you probably ought to have, one, some expertise, and two, a dog in that fight.
All right.